Welcome to the podcast. So this week we're going to get really specific. I mean, really specific about what the lies from the enemy sound like. Because let's be honest, Satan intentionally speaks lies to you, and he does so a lot. That's what God's word says. Remember, it says he stands before God and accuses the brethren day and night. Whoa. So today on the podcast, we're getting really specific about what these lies sound like and what happens when we've heard the same set of lies over and over. Super important stuff today, so let's get started. You're listening to Women Speaking Truth, a podcast that inspires women to know God deeper and equips them to take the next step in their God-given callings. My name is Andy Bruce, and I'm so passionate about helping women develop their character and understand their callings that I went out and got a doctorate degree in leadership. Now I'm sharing practical tools about leadership development through a biblical lens so that God can empower and ignite ordinary women like you and I to make his impact on our world. So, you know those times where you're just out and about, you're doing your thing, and maybe you're driving, and suddenly a car comes out of nowhere and almost T-bones you, or crosses the center line, or almost sideswipes you, like something bad. And in those moments when you maybe see the brakes in front of your car just come to a screeching halt and you're wondering, oh my goodness, this is it. I'm going to kiss the bumper in front of me, and this is not how I thought my day would go. It's like danger can come out of nowhere, right? Because in about 0.2 seconds, here's how you know when danger happens. In 0.2 seconds, your body is flooded with adrenaline. Your heart is pumping and thumping against your ribs and all the hair on your body standing up. And you're just thinking, holy smokes, that was close. Danger was right next to me and I didn't even see it coming. I think we could all relate to that because, come on, that's just life, and sometimes wild things happen. But as we're talking about spiritual warfare today, let's make a little parallel here. And I don't mean to oversound the alarm or get dramatic, but if we aren't aware of Satan's kinds of danger toward us, then I wonder if the danger can hit us harder, be more significant, and do long-term damage. Because we didn't even see it coming. So we're going to unpack a whole bunch today, and we're going to get really specific about Satan's lies and his accusations and what they sound like and how we can start to detect this kind of spiritual danger and maybe even start to do something about it before it really gets rolling in our minds. So we're going to start with a question. What does Satan lie to us about? And while I unpack this question for the next couple minutes, here's what I want you to do. This is kind of lame, and I get it. Actually, I kind of agree. It's a little lame. When I say something that you think could potentially be spiritually dangerous, I want you to just think in your mind or say with your mouth, danger. That's it. Okay. When I say something that could sound or lead to spiritual danger, I want you to catch it. And I want you to say to yourself or say it out loud, danger. That's it. Super simple. Because we want to start being women who recognize and can identify dangers, not just on the road, like I was talking about, but literal spiritual danger, especially the kind that we can't see with our eyes. We can't typically point to it because it's non-tangible. But you know what? We can start to identify it as we kind of notice something, or as I describe things, this is how we're going to get our minds in gear and start recognizing spiritually dangerous things. So when you hear one, you say danger. I'm going to get you started a couple times to give you some examples, and then I will stop doing that because it's a little annoying. So back to our question. What does Satan lie to us about? Well, number one, Satan tells us lies about God. Danger. Remember, Satan's aim is to destroy the power of God in your life. The power of God is your faith. Danger. And how does Satan do this? often he does it by discrediting God. Danger. Okay, I think you get the point now. So I'm going to stop saying danger, but just because I stop, I want you to keep going. Keep going. Satan wants to make you believe that God's an idiot, he can't be trusted, he isn't worth following, that in the end, even if you do follow God, he's going to end up hurting you, ruining your kids, ruining your marriage, and on and on and on. Pretty clever, wouldn't you say? And here's the thing, we buy it. We do. Just like Adam and Eve bought into Satan's lies in the garden, my friends, we buy into it too. Because Satan's lies are really subtle and they're quiet. And quite frankly, they're often highly unnoticed by us. Because let's be honest, it would be a totally different ballgame if we saw a little red horned devil or a giant, scary, freaky looking roaring lion jump out of the bushes at us and tell us a bunch of baloney about God. We might be able to deal with that because it would be obvious. Instead, and here's the brilliance of Satan's tactics, he's a spiritual being using spiritual tactics to conduct spiritual warfare. He's a spiritual being, like we can't see him. We don't hear a door open and close when he comes. He's a spiritual being using spiritual tactics. We're going to unpack some of those today to conduct spiritual warfare with you and with me. And honestly, you and I are so unfamiliar with the spiritual realm in general because we love being zoned into what our eyes can see and our brains can logically comprehend. So most of us are pretty oblivious to this spiritual world. And because of that, I think often we give Satan the upper hand. His spiritual being speaks lies and accusations to our spiritual beings. And these lies from Satan get whispered into our minds. And if this is new to you, this can all sound pretty wonky, like, well, that's a stretch, right? Hey, I totally get that. And because here's what we always want to do around here is not go off of my perceptions or experiences. We want to look at scripture. So we're going to just zoom through three verses because I want you to notice as I just read a couple verses, I want you to be listening for where Satan's activity takes place. Listen for where satanic stuff happens. Ready? Verse number one, Matthew 16:23. But he turned, this is Jesus talking. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Listen. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So where did spiritual warfare take place? Well, Jesus says to him, nope, this isn't going to happen because you're not setting your mind on the things of God. So this word mind, keep it in your back pocket. Here's the second verse, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, listen, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I want to read this one more time because it's kind of a mouthful. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Lots is happening and they're facing lots of suffering. So, and sin. Here's what Paul writes to them. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, listen, what's going to be led astray? Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So let's recap. Matthew 16 says, your mind is not on the things of God, and that's where Satan's doing some damage, because your mind. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, whoa, just like Eve was totally deceived by Satan, so you too, your thoughts are being led astray from Christ. So we've got your mind and your thoughts. Let's do one more. This is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians saying, hey gang, FYI, this whole spiritual attack thing, it's real. He says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, meaning the tactics that Satan uses, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So hold on. What Paul is saying is that the way that we would assume spiritual warfare would happen, like kind of direct frontal assaults with something obvious and something that you could point to, Paul says, we don't do this kind of warfare in the flesh because it's spiritual. And then he says, here's how the enemy fights: with arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. And so what do we need to do? We need to take every thought captive to obey Christ. I know these sound maybe super high in the sky, but here's what we have. Let's bring this down. The first verse told us, oop, something in the mind is happening. The second verse told us something in your thoughts is happening. The third verse told us that all of these types of arguments and lofty opinions can take our thoughts captive and away from God. So we have mind, thoughts, thoughts. So it's like, these are huge. You guys, these are such significant clues about where spiritual warfare takes place. I was taught that to know God, I needed to read my Bible for 20 minutes every day, and I did this for years. And I wanted other women to know God, so I led and I taught Bible studies. But I always thought, surely there's got to be more to it than this. Then there was a night at my house with friends. We were gathered around the Bible. And instead of like a traditional teacher and a traditional outline or fill in the blanks, there was like this collaboration that happened where her insights and her ideas and her perspectives blew the lid off of traditional Bible study. And that was the night that Truth Groups were born. It's a way of reading the Bible with others that's changing lives. In Truth Groups, we gather as equals. Seriously, there's no teacher, there's no leader. And there's a really amazing structure that makes all of this possible. And when that happens, there's such ownership of my time in the Word, of our Bible study, and of our group. And there's a really simple process. It's so simple. And it makes Bible reading enjoyable, understandable, and allows women to know what they're looking at in Scripture and why. Everything you need for a powerful, fun, engaging experience with God is these couple things: your Bible, your people, and a Truth Group journal. If you've got that, get ready. The Bible is going to come alive for you. So to get your Truth Group journal, just visit truthgroups.com/journals. So it's like 1 minute you're daydreaming about what flowers to plant in the garden or what you've got to do when you get home or what you're going to buy on Amazon, whatever it is you're daydreaming about. And the next minute you have a really random, kind of a mean thought in your mind about God. And then another. And then there's this random thought about you, and it's mean toward yourself. And in your mind, you feel like nothing happened. You're just driving down the highway, minding your own business, and you don't even know what just happened. That's how subtle this stuff is. You don't know that one of Satan's minions just planted lies in your mind because you're alone. And that was an invisible transaction from one of Satan's minions into your mind. And it's subtle, and it's quiet, and it's slippery. And you would never think to call what just happened spiritual warfare because in your mind, nothing happened. But the lies build up and they start to take up more space in your mind and they begin to do some damage. Like what you're thinking and how you're thinking typically about yourself or about God are not typical. But we're totally unaware of all this spiritual activity because, after all, what on earth would Satan want with you? You're just a normal chick. You're just taking your kids to school and trying to get to work on time. You're just running from point A to point B. And you have always assumed that Satan goes after people like Mother Teresa and the Beth Moores of the world and any of those, like maybe your pastor or somebody who is far more spiritual than you. So you don't think too much about what your mind just thought about God and about you, and you kind of shoo away the little thought, either thinking nothing of it or thinking you've got some serious problems and what's wrong with you, and why would you ever think that about God, and why on earth would you think that about you? And then it becomes the shame game. Either way on that one, Satan wins. And if you think all those cruel thoughts about God and yourself are just you, this, my friend, is what a typical spiritual assault looks like, at least for us in America. Danger. Remember, Satan's goal is to destroy your faith. You want to know a really good strategy to cause you to lose faith in God? Make God sound unworthy of putting your faith into him. Make him sound uncaring or unreliable. Take your little faith and make you think that God is unfaithful and is going to totally make you regret it. So, want to get specific? Okay, I'm going to share some specific lies that Satan has used on me personally over the years. And remember, these are subtle. They're planted right into my own mind, and it feels to me like this happens out of nowhere. Therefore, it's so easy for me not to catch on to these, especially at the beginning when, for me, I was just sort of getting my head and getting my mind and getting my spiritual awareness about spiritual attack up and running. For me, in the early days, I think the enemy whispered a whole lot of these lies and I just had no idea. But what's really cool is these days, it's like, I don't know. I've prayed and I've asked God, God, would you train me? Like, my mind is the mind of Christ. I don't have to give the enemy leverage. And so, God, will you train me to be spiritually attuned to what's really happening and not just my own little world? This is what I'm praying for you guys too. So here are some of the lies that I think the enemy has definitely, subtly, quietly, and mostly, like, unnoticed, planted into my mind. Here they are. Number one, God is tired of you coming to him. God doesn't care. God gets so tired of hearing from you. God can help you, but he won't. If God is so loving, why do you never feel his love? Oh, probably because you don't deserve it. God forgets about you. Following Jesus isn't worth it. You can't walk with God. You can't. You can't do the things God has asked you to do. It's too hard. And God knows this. God expects more from you. God is disappointed by you again. God must have made some people to really know him. And then there are the rest of you. You fall into the latter category. God is so tired of forgiving you for the same thing. God's grace is enough for other people, but it's just not enough for you because of how messed up you are. God's mad at you, and he should be. My friends, I could go on and on and on telling you examples of lies that Satan has whispered into my mind over these 44 years, but I think you get the picture. Here's my question for you, and just don't overthink this. What are the lies Satan has told you about God? Seriously, like even right now, what are the thoughts that come to mind when I ask you this? What are the lies that Satan has told you about God? Because just like we've been talking about, until you can understand it and identify it, and I mean with some clarity, not vague, not like, well, kind of like, I don't know, that God doesn't care about me or something like that. No way, man. Get specific. Because the more specific you can be about what the lies are that God's spoken, or that, I'm sorry, that Satan has spoken to you, the more that you're going to be tuned in when he does the same song and dance to you. Because I'll tell you, although Satan is good at these deceitful tactics, he's not creative. He's not. God is creator. Therefore, God is creative. For Satan, one thing that I feel like this is true for me, Satan's good at these tactics, but he's not creative with them. It is the same song and dance of the same lies, same types of lies that he tells me, the same kinds of ways. And for me, the same seasons of life are when I'm like, oh, that's what's happening. Yep. It's like the same song, different tune. This is true because Satan is not creative. He's deceitful, but not creative. So the first thing that Satan's going to do is he's going to lie to you about God. Then there's actually two more categories we're going to touch on. One more. The second kind of lie are lies about me. So just like I did with the lies about God, I'm going to read this list of what are the kinds of lies that Satan uses about me. Here we go. You ruin everything. That's a big one for me. You don't have anybody. You're alone. You screw things up. Whatever you touch, you screw it up. You will always disappoint people. You are a disappointment to God. You've tried to put your trust in God over and over again, and God just never quite works out for you. You'll never be free from your sin. You can't be honest with people. Shoo, my friends, these are doozies. What I want us to do is change gears a bit here. Let's change gears. I used to be really fascinated by people who knew how to catch liars, like Judge Judy. Okay, I don't know about you. I love watching Judge Judy because nobody gets away with anything in her courtroom. You know why? Because she knows what to look for when it comes to liars, and she's had a whole lot of experience. And what she does is she pounces on somebody when they start to do a couple things. One of them, she will say, if their face turns red, liar, and she pounces. Another thing is she peppers someone with questions, just waiting to see if they're going to flinch or stutter or start to change their story. She just knows what to do when it comes to liars. And that's what we want to do too. We want to know what to look for when demons start lying to us about God and ourself and other people. By the way, that's the third category. We just don't have time to get into it, but there's a third category that Satan loves, especially with women, or maybe I say that because I am a woman and I get it. Satan loves to lie to me about my husband and what he's doing or not doing, about women in my life, like my friendships, that they get tired of me, they're sick of me. By the way, the same for me, this is true. The same kind of lies that Satan speaks to me about God are often the same ones that he speaks to me about my husband and my people. They're tired of me. I disappoint them. They don't think that I'm worth sticking around for. Relationships get too hard and I should just ditch them. See what I mean? Satan is not creative. The same lies that he's going to use for you about God, I'll bet you, are the same types of lies that he's going to use when it comes to people, because he's deceptive. He's not all that creative. Okay, so these are doozies, these lies. And what we want to do is start looking for what happens when demons start lying to us about God, and we want to get really good at detecting a couple of things. So I'm going to share with you a few things. I think there are five that as when I really began to notice Satan's schemes and his plots and his lies and accusations against me, I was like, holy Toledo, this is hijacking my faith. And it was pretty scary, the results of it. I don't mean like throwing out my faith. I don't mean walking away from God. I mean majorly making me think differently about God and differently about myself. So, number one, here's what we've got to know about how Satan and his demons lie to us about God and ourselves. Number one, you have to know what your mind is thinking. I talked about this at length last week, so I'm just going to touch on this. You need to learn to listen to your own thoughts. If you don't know what your mind is thinking or what thoughts are going through your mind, it means you're not guarding your mind, plain and simple. And if this is true for you, then the enemy has probably some strong access to your mind and you don't even know it. It's like your mind, we talked about this last week, is like open season. There's no boundaries. There's no perimeter of safety, of godliness. And therefore, Satan, the roaring lion, can come and roam about freely in your thoughts by planting lies and schemes and accusations because there's no guard on duty. It's like open season for the enemy. For so much more on this, I would encourage you to go back and listen to podcast number 41 from last week, especially the last 10 minutes or so. We talk big time about knowing how to start taking account of what your mind is thinking and why it matters so much, and a couple practical tips for where to start. Okay, so number one is you've got to know what your mind is thinking in order to detect Satan's lies and accusations. Number two, my friends, this is a big one. Pay attention to the pronouns in your thoughts. Okay, pronouns are the action being done to who. Like it could be, pronouns are I, me, we, you, they, he, she, it, them, and those kind of things. Pay attention to those in your thoughts. If you hear the word you, you, you in your thoughts, danger. We don't think in the second person pronoun when we think, my friends. We don't think you when we're talking about ourselves. We think in first person. We think I and me and my. Think about it. We say, I need to go to the post office. And then after that, I need to get home and work on my project. And then we think things like this. Why am I feeling so weird about what I just did? I don't know. Maybe I should just keep chewing on it because, man, my feelings are just kind of strange right now. This is how women think. We think in first person using I, me, and my. But when there's an accuser and an enemy, I'm telling you, the pronouns change and it's a dead giveaway because Satan speaks lies into our minds and these lies are in the form of an accusation. And accusations are always second person statements and they use the word you, you, you regularly. Here's an example. You never come home on time. You drink too much coffee. You always leave your homework at school. These are accusations, and literally, like, on the basis of what accusations are, they're accusing that person right there of wrongdoing, and how we express that is through you statements. So, with this in mind, listen again to some of the accusations from Satan that I read earlier. These are my accusations that I just read a couple minutes ago. Listen. You ruin everything. You're disgusting. You don't have anybody. You're alone. You screw things up. You will always disappoint people. You're a disappointment to God. You tried to put your trust in God over and over again, and God never works out for you. You'll never be free from sin. You can't be honest with people. The way to know if Satan is lying to you and accusing you is by listening carefully to the pronouns in your thoughts. this is Satan's tell. The cat is out of the bag when you start recognizing you statements. This is why it's so important to take account and to know what you're thinking, which, you guys, it is how you guard your mind, is to know what you're thinking and to listen carefully to what your thoughts are. Number three, if what you just thought doesn't make sense, it probably isn't true. Okay, when you catch yourself thinking something about God that's not true according to his word, heads up. If it doesn't make sense about God, it probably isn't true. If it doesn't make sense about you, it probably isn't true. It could be. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it could be a lie from Satan. Here's what I mean. If you love God, and if you believe the Bible, and if you believe God has a plan for you, and he loves you, and he's here for you, and you want to live your life to please God, and if this is your aim, listen carefully for incongruent thoughts that tell you otherwise. Because what you're thinking about God doesn't make sense, it probably isn't true if it doesn't make sense. And it could be Satan feeding you lies. I'm going to read to you the lies about God that I just read a few minutes ago. And I want you to listen for how these thoughts just don't make sense. For me personally, they don't add up to what I believe firmly from the Bible. Not only do I firmly believe these thoughts about the Bible, but it's like, listen to these thoughts. They totally violate my personal theology, my belief about God. Here they are. God is tired of you coming to him. God doesn't care about you. God gets so tired of hearing from you. God can help you, but he won't. If God is so loving, why do you never feel his love? Oh, probably because you don't deserve it. God forgets about you. Following Jesus isn't worth it. You can't walk with God. It's just too hard, and God knows that. God expects more from you. God is disappointed by you again. God must have made some people to really know him, and then there's you. God is so tired of forgiving you for the same thing. God's grace is enough for other people, but it's just not enough for you because of how messed up you are. God's mad at you, and he should be. And you know what I've noticed about these lies from Satan about God? It's not just that they don't make sense according to the Bible. Often these lies are the very things that I have just prayed for in my time with Jesus. For example, I wake up and I spend a few minutes with God, and I'm like, Lord, you love me so much. You've made me on purpose, and you've given me the Holy Spirit. It's mine. I'm going to live my whole life for you just because I love you. And when I obey you, it's one way I get to show you how much I love you. Oh God, will you fill me with your Spirit and with your power so that all that I do would reflect you and satisfy you and bring you to others? This is what I want, God. And Lord, just so you know, you are worth it. And then here's what happens. That afternoon, I'm going about my business, and I notice a strange thought because I'm on guard and I'm aware of what my mind is thinking. And here's the strange thought. God expects more from you. When are you going to do something worthwhile for God? Because all that you do, it doesn't change anything. It's not worth it. Following Jesus isn't worth it, and nothing changes. Friends, this happens for me all the time recently. And that's another thing about lies from the enemy. Often they go in seasons. Because think about it. Military attacks are multi-step, multi-stage events intended to take out an enemy, right? I'm not sure that when it comes to spiritual attack, it's that different. Spiritual attack is often, it happens in seasons. There's multi-steps. There's multi-attempt events to destroy your faith. And this is really helpful. Because then you could start noticing the patterns. And here's the patterns. If you're not aware of what you are thinking, if you recognize lots of you statements, if you're thinking and your true theology about what you think with God don't add up in your thinking, then I want to tell you, aha, this might be a season of attack for you personally. Seasons of attack are really helpful because they give us many opportunities to clue into the fact that something is not right. You are being lied to. It's not you, it's the enemy. And so oftentimes, at least this is true for me, it's like I'll notice, oh my goodness, that is a weird thought about God or about me, or a weird thought that my husband gets tired of me. Then I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit on alert. Then I'll have a similar thought about a friend. She gets so tired of you. Gosh, people just get so sick of you. I'm like, oh, that's what's happening around here. Then settle. I mean, a couple days can go by and it's so quiet and subtle. And it's like this tiny little thought slips into my thinking of just stop praying already because God gets so tired of hearing your voice. So for me, seasons of attack are an opportunity for me to clue into the fact that something's not right. It's not just me being dumb or stupid or faithless. No. And I get to be like, okay, whoa. So a couple days ago, it was a lie that God's tired of me. Then it was a lie that friends get super annoyed with me and don't even want me around. Then it's like a lie that my husband regrets coming home to me. Huh. Could this be spiritual attack? Then I start thinking about it a little bit more. Oh, there's you statements in it. You are irritating to people around you. Your husband doesn't want to come home to you. You have to be able to catch the pattern of typically multi attempts of attack. It's not a one-time show. No way. It's a series of attacks. This is what the Bible would call a season. Two, there are you statements littered throughout the weird thinking. And then here's another one for you. This one's really helpful for women, and it's this. What you start thinking leads to a feeling about you or about God, and that feeling is bad. Because let's face it, when the enemy comes and starts to lie to you about yourself and God, it's not going to leave you feeling really good about you or really good about God. No way. The feeling that your thoughts are going to leave you with are going to be noticeable and negative. When the enemy is planting lies, accusations, and wrong thinking in your mind, you're going to notice. And some women notice because they're left with a negative and a noticeable feeling. For me, that's not the big clue that something's not right. But for other women, they're like, man, I'm left with a feeling. I'm left with a really bad feeling about God. They can pick up on, ooh, this is a spiritual warfare because they're left with a noticeable negative feeling. For me, it's the opposite. I will catch onto my thought first and be like, what on earth? There's you statements. This is weird thinking about God. I don't think about God that way. I don't think about my husband or my friends or myself that way. So for me, it starts with the you statements and putting clues together of that's not true, but my mind is trying to tell me that's true. For other women, their thoughts result in a negative, noticeable feeling about themselves and or about God and or the people around them. For example, one of my closest friends, the enemy will attack her pretty regularly, and it goes in major noticeable seasons. And I'm saying this from her friend. I'm like, oh, there it is again. And she's like, oh my gosh, how do I miss that? Major noticeable feelings. The enemy's going to attack her with lies and accusations. And for her, it kind of sounds like this. If you move toward God, you will be destroyed. If you move toward God, your kids will be destroyed. If you move toward God, you will be destroyed. If you move toward God, your kids will be destroyed. That's the bottom line of it. So for my friend, what's the noticeable and negative feeling for her? Easy, fear. And can you guess what the result of this does for her? She's like, I'm not opening my Bible. I am not going to spend more time with God. I'm going to just do what I do or do nothing because this is too scary. And she will say when she's moving toward God, oh my goodness, do the lies from the enemy, particular about fear, come like a full frontal assault. When she's not moving toward God, it's peaceful, it's quiet, and there's very little, if any, spiritual attack on her life. So for her, this feeling of fear, it is the noticeable negative feeling that her thoughts, or not her thoughts, that the lies from the enemy produce. And as a result, she doesn't move toward God. And this used to be true. Man, has she grown considerably with this. For me, the noticeable negative feeling is indifference these days. Here's the lie that I've recognized. God wants more from you. You will never be able to do what God is asking you to do. You're a disappointment, so why try? And then it kind of goes on replay. Why try? God wants more from you. You'll never be able to do what God wants you to do. You're a disappointment. Why try? Or it's like this. You could do all this and God won't do anything with it. You could pour your life into ministry and loving and leading other women, and it's going to amount to so little that it's not even worth it in the end. So what's the negative and noticeable feeling that I'm left with? Resentment toward God. Because here's when I know I'm buying into it. I'm like, God, you always want more than I could give you. Why isn't this enough? Then I'll feel pressure. For me, this is what spiritual warfare looks for me when it's unnoticed and undetected. So here's what happens with the lies and accusations from Satan that are not detected. Oh gosh, you guys, this is such a slippery slope. When Satan lies to us and we don't catch on, we hear the lies over and over and over again, and we think it's just our own thoughts. It's just us. And sometimes we even think that it's God talking to us. Isn't this so deceptive? But regardless, when we hear the lies and the accusations enough from Satan, it's just natural, and I think it's really human for us to start to believe them. And then when we start to believe them and believe them and believe them, we own the lie. We think that we are authoring it. And it becomes part of our own fabric, part of our own being. And when this happens, when we believe the lies and accusations from Satan about ourselves and about God, guess what? Satan doesn't even need to come and speak the lies to us anymore. He doesn't have to, because we will do the work of Satan on our own without even realizing it. We believe the lie that we've heard over and over again, and now we, not Satan, speak the lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves the same lie because we've heard it over and over and over and over. We aren't able to recognize that this is a lie from the enemy, and we just put it on repeat. This is exactly what leads to bondage, where we're stuck in that belief system about God and in that wrong belief system about us or other people. So my friends, we've talked about a whole lot. I've shared with you guys my specific lies about God and lies about myself that Satan has just masterfully, craftily, deceitfully whispered to me. These would be true, especially over the last 15 years of stepping back into ministry. I'm just convinced he wants me to, and he's really good at it, to dupe me into thinking that living a life for Christ is not worth it. And I want to be honest, I struggle with this lie. There's a reason that lie works well with me. For another friend, hers is that she has no value. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if she's here or gone. So for you, I would love it if between now and the next episode, you would be able to identify what's the lie these days. What's the lie? Maybe for you, you're like, oh, I know exactly what it is. It's that nobody cares about me, or God just wants too much from me. Or if I really surrender to God, he's going to get me hook, line, and sinker, and it's not going to be a good thing. That I'll look like an idiot. People think I'm an idiot, and if I really surrender to God, other people will know that I'm an idiot, and then I'll bring God into it too, and then people will think, oh, now she's made an idiot about God. What is it for you? Because I tell you, the more you could get specific, I mean really black and white specific about what the lie or the couple lies are that Satan uses against you, I am telling you, you will have the upper hand. The second thing, maybe you have no idea. You're like, I'm sure he does talk to me. I just don't know. I would say get really comfortable being in your own mind with your own thoughts and start looking for the you statements. That's where to start. So next week, what we're going to do is we're really going to dig into, now that we can identify, how do you thwart? How do you distinguish and extinguish the lies of the enemy? That's what we're talking about. This stuff is super important. One thing to do too is if you're really unsure, like, I really don't know what the lies are. If you're honest and vulnerable and transparent with a couple people around you, ask them. I'll bet you they know. They're like, oh man, you always just start talking weird. There's a disconnect about how you feel about other people versus how you feel about yourself. Or there's a disconnect between like what you know you ought to think about God, but what you really think about God. Those are precise places for the enemy to have planted these little lies, and they're like IEDs in the road, in the field, just waiting for you to, boom, like be assaulted with something that you don't even know why it's there. So super important stuff. We're going to keep going next week about, okay, now that we've identified, how do we distinguish the lie and extinguish the lie of the enemy?